503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
Yes, California, another reason to be proud. We are number one. We are number one in these United States. You want to know what we're number one of? You're not going to be as happy after I read this to you. During fiscal year 2013-2014, that ended last June, California collected, are you ready, $138 billion in taxes of all kinds. 16% of all state taxes collected in these United States. Man, and more than the next two combined came from the great state of California. Personal corporate income taxes, nearly $80 billion. 55% of California's revenues came from that. $50 billion in fuel taxes generated, licensing taxes and fees, another $9 billion. $138 million, that's about $3,500 per resident. But, you know, we still have room for improvement, California, because per capita, New York, with less than half the people, their tax rate is $3,900 per person. So you think we got it bad here, but we still generated more money in taxes here. That is just state taxes. That is not county, local government, school districts, and anything else. That's another $50 billion in property taxes as well. So California, we have a lot more to work. We need to strive to be number one in everything. So per capita, we are number two. I don't like being number two in anything, but I'll take being number two in per capita taxes. Man, $3,500 a person here in California. So we have twice as many people as New York or Texas, about 38 million to roughly 20 million for those two states, but more taxes collected combined than those two states put together. It is Friday, our favorite day of the week, and I had to mention that because, you know, Wednesday was tax day. With me to my right, my good friend, Andrew Wellborn. Pal, how are you, buddy?
Well, all I've got to say is, hello, folks, Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and those crazy tax rates and the world to you. That's about it, buddy. I think you pretty much covered it. A huge number, I think, that, you know, we're looking just straight over this number as Republicans. And, you know, last week's show, I was really, really, really hammering on some of the issues and the messaging that I think the Republicans need to take to the people of California to possibly win some of these seats out here. But the $3,500 a year, folks, over $3,500 a year per resident is the average. What that translates to is that obviously there are individuals who are not paying that $3,500. So that means that other Californians, the middle class Californian taxpayers, are actually paying more than $3,500 a year in order to support that outrageous, outrageous tax number.
You know, Andrew, and a lot of those money, you know, and we keep, we go back to the last election cycle we just had where we allowed more money for schools. We're getting nickel and dime, penny nickel and dimed to death here in the state of California. We've heard about, you know, the state of New York. Their taxes are very high there. I don't believe they have state tax, but their property taxes are extremely high. Texas, no state, no income tax there. So combined, we have more than them. But per capita, you know, we have twice as many people, Andrew, as I said, as New York, but they're not much more different than us. We pay a lot here in California.
Well, this tax number, folks, doesn't include the proverbial local taxes that we have up and down California in the cities and the counties. And, of course, I think that, you know, there's over $50 billion a year that's raised in property taxes that are not included in that overall number that really is, gosh, I mean, I just get so frustrated because last week I just sent out a couple checks to the Internal Revenue Service, and I just wish that I paid that $3,500 per resident that we just mentioned.
Absolutely, and it's a crazy number out there, folks, when you look at it. And also on top of that, just of course last week, I believe it was, that the Governor Scott from Florida just came here to California, and we had Governor Perry a few years ago. He came here touting the business environment in Texas. Governor Scott is here, and he's wanting to get ports of call to come to the great state of Florida, of course, where taxes are lower. Now, that's probably not going to happen because that's a huge amount of work that has to entitles to do, and California governor is scoffing at that. But how much scoffing can you do? Because he scoffed at Governor Perry. You know, California lost Tesla and some other things. He's scoffing at the governor of Florida right now. But we are seeing businesses, smaller businesses, and individuals leaving our great state for those tax-friendly states, Andrew.
Well, you know, the discussion I had this week that comes to mind, the big one that I had with a friend of mine, had to do with suffrage. And the question was, are we out here in California? Are we across this nation? Are we experiencing suffrage at this point when it comes to the economy? And my answer was no. You know, obviously we're not experiencing great suffrage that we see worldwide and we've seen throughout our history economically. But, you know, the problem's going to be is that it's going to take that suffrage. And that's the problem, is that it's going to take that suffrage for us as people out here in the state of California to eventually come around and understand the impact that we are doing to ourselves by only having 42% of the voters who turn out, of which of those 42%, that is split into also. So, you know, we got a very, very small group of people who are coming out and participating with the voting process that are basically dictating this taxation to us. And, you know, quite frankly, folks, you're doing it to yourself.
Do you think, Andrew, and you mentioned the word suffrage, we think about the women's suffrage movement of a century ago. Do you think it's going to take something? Do you see something along those lines?
Okay, look, that you just stepped into something that just aggravates me. You know, we're taking the word suffrage and we're just associating with one group of individuals.
Right.
The word suffrage is what it means. It's just a suffering.
Yes.
And so, no, it's not about the women's suffrage. And yes, we're going to have some type of suffrage economically in this country and in the state of California before the people in the state of California wake up and maybe participate with the voting.
Do you think that is going to happen? How much longer can the people of California be taxed? We're $3,500 per person right now here in California. It's going to be $4,000, $4,500. Is it going to take another 0.25% tax up? Is there a ceiling, do you believe, Andrew?
No. Okay, look, the majority of the people of California are not paying that $3,500. That's an average.
Right.
The average is $3,500. Out of 40 million people, I guarantee you, not every individual, I did not pay only $3,500 in taxes this year. I know this. This is why I am pounding this. So, you know, the spin, the wag the dog on these numbers, we just have got to start looking at that dog that's wagging right in front of us when it comes to this socialist, leftist, Marxist, communist. I think I covered all four of them.
Okay,
there.
Right.
This message that they're putting to us in the name of liberal democracy.
Do you think that, you know, it's tough to fathom that a lot of people don't pay, and we understand that a lot of people don't pay, that there are a lot of lower income folks here in California who don't pay. I didn't pay as much. I know that you had to write a lot of money out there, but it's hard to imagine that it's ever going to be equal. Do you think it's going to come to that time? Do we need to repeal the tax codes here? Is that the question that we need to ask everybody?
But repealing it, look, here's the deal. Repealing the tax code, I don't think anybody collectively on the majority will say we just need to get rid of the tax code. I think as a nation, we have to look at the fact that we have to have revenue to come from the people in order to support the necessity of the government that we put over us. That has got to happen. But, you know, as far as reforming the tax code, as far as modifying the tax code, you know, it's more so modifying and maybe reforming the tax rate within the code. That is the message, the tax rate, so that it is equally. We like to talk about equality, you know, making it a fair playing field for everybody. Well, let's make it a fair playing field so that every individual, regardless of your economic status in this country and in the state of California, is going to pay at least the same rate.
Do you think that's going to happen? Because I believe about 30 years ago, somebody came out who wanted to run for president, and we've talked about maybe in the last presidential cycle that there were folks talking about a flat rate of 8-9%. Is that what it's going to take, or is it going to take something in between maybe that?
Well, the problem with the tax rate message is that, you know, the tax code represents 1/7 of our economy. And so you have so many individuals that depend on the tax code itself in order to make a living. Think about that, folks. 1/7 of the economy. That's a lot of unemployment should we just, you know, get rid of the tax code.
Man.
All right, our good friend Paul Staddy's in the studio with us. Paul, what do you got for us, buddy?
Hey, Andrew. Hey, Tim.
How you
doing? Good to be here. Let me jump right into my commentary. Earlier this month, Iran's supreme leader was hollering, "Death to America!" He was directing his comments to all of us. When asked to explain, the White House said the Ayatollah's threat was focused on a domestic political audience. But President Obama now seems to be defending his new BFF by commenting that the Supreme Leader didn't mean it the way we interpreted it. In other words, he was just yanking our chain or making a funny joke. Meanwhile, Jay Johnson, our Homeland Security Chief, was giving a speech to a Muslim group, commented that when he reads the Quran, it reminds him of, quote, quintessential American values. You know, I'd like to know to which values he's referring. Because as far as I'm aware, there's nothing in our Judeo-Christian backgrounds that call for beheading people, treating women like second-class citizens, or killing infidels. And by the way, we are the infidels that he's talking about. These are indeed very strange days for American foreign policy. Those who follow the teachings of Islam seem to be given a seat of honor, while those who believe in Christianity or Judaism, well, we seem to find ourselves a little more marginalized. Let's all pay closer attention to this situation and raise our voices a little louder. Know that.
All right.
Very good, Paul. Well, we got some history for us today, Andrew, my friend.
Just so happens it kind of goes coincidentally, kind of hand in hand with a little bit of know that. On this date, April 17th, the year is 858, 858. Benedict III, he ended his reign as the Catholic Pope. 1492, a very famous year, huh? I think this one's going to be obvious, right? No. Christopher Columbus, actually, he signed the contract with Spain to find a western route to the Indies. And we know all what that ended up leading to. And then, of course, in 1521, Martin Luther, a very, very important name in religious history. Martin Luther is excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. You want to be part of the conversation on Fridays? It's pretty easy. It's 257-TALK. That's 8255-8256. And if you are out of the area, it's pretty easy as well. Our dime, it's 1-866-882-1277. The 503 Report, heard every Friday right at the news on 1240 KSU Live, streaming on the World Wide Web at sierradailynews.com. Your phone calls and more coming up. The half-hour show coming up right after this. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains, it's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you very much, Dan. Welcome back, everybody. Our favorite day of the week, maybe not our favorite time of the year right after tax time, but it is our favorite day of the week, Friday, and that is time for the 503 Report, where we bring Sacramento and the world to you every Friday on SierraBroadcasting.com. 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. With me, as always, my good friend over there. Had to write a little bit of a check, but not complaining like he did last year. Andrew Wilburn. Buddy, how you doing, pal?
Man. I don't know. You know, should I complain, or am I just getting used to it? Am I becoming part of the problem, just getting used to the sting every time we put the ink to the paper on that check to send it off to the government? You know what? Look, my hypocrisy only goes so far. I understand the importance of writing those checks and paying my fair share. Let me tell you, folks, I pay my fair share. So whenever the leftist, Marxist theorist out there and the Democrats start talking the need for me to pay more, you know, that kind of irritates me a little bit. Of course, I'm not paying at the level of a 1%. But boy, I have to tell you, I do pay at a level that most higher earners out there in that higher level of middle class America pays. And let me tell you, I'm tired of people saying that I need to pay more. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and my wrath to you. And of course, we are where America's voice is heard.
Yeah, we talked about in our opening about the taxes in California. We are, you know, we're striving to be number one in everything here in the great state of California. We are number two in per capita tax at $3,500 per person. Only the great state of New York at $3,900 per person, but they only have 18 million people. We have 40 million people here in the great state of California. And like Andrew said, we are getting taxed all the time. It always seems when we turn around, there is something new, a new AB or Senate bill out there that's trying to get more money. We passed Prop 30 and all the things for the schools. We keep on having more money and more money going to that, and it seems like it's just not working. It's not working. There has to come an end, and I think that's where the far right is really placing a lot of their eggs in their basket is, you know what? Folks in California are getting awfully tired of paying those higher and higher taxes.
Well, I mean, they're not seeing it for the most part. The majority of the individuals who are seeing it are the individuals that are at my level and higher. When it comes to that, we're the ones, and we're a small group when it comes to being, you know, big tax. You know, I'm on the small end of the taxpayers, but you know, when it comes to it, you know, we have more people who want to show up for rallies in the state of California for just about anything and everything than to show up to vote. California Secretary of State Alex Padilla now is advocating mandatory voter registration. And I don't know if that would be a good idea for the socialist Democrats out there, the PCS agenda, because the more people that get registered, the more people who might wake up that, wait a minute, I can do something about this when I look at my taxes. But, you know, the PCS agenda out there, that leftist, Marxist, communist group out there, what they do, they cleverly hide it. And they talk about the 1 and the 2 percenters. And so they make it sound like that we're not going to tax you, middle California. You know, we're not going to hit the middle class or the poor in California. We're only going to tax those nasty earners, the individuals who get out there and actually work and earn in the state of California. And as a result, look, I mean, we see companies that are leaving. That impact is not affecting the middle class Americans out here in California who are not losing their jobs yet, or they're getting reduced wages because they lost a job and they find another job. It's only that suffrage that we were talking about in the first part of the show. It takes suffrage for people to realize that, wait a minute, something is not working.
You know, in Nevada, Governor Brian Sandoval over there, and you've talked about him being a great maybe vice presidential nominee for whoever gets on the Republican side. He'd be a great part of the ticket. The folks over there love him, the way that they work over there with big business. There's nothing wrong with big business coming in to your community or to your state because they generate jobs and a healthier tax base for your economy. So Governor Sandoval seems to be doing things the right way right now, Andrew.
Well, you got to be careful what you wish for when you do that as a state, because with the company sometimes comes its baggage called its employee political beliefs. And you see that throughout the country where more and more states throughout the Midwest and coming in from the Pacific Rim side. You know, look, the state's demographics are beginning to change because of the influx of jobs that are leaving, say, the state of California, going into Nevada. And so anybody who lives in Nevada right now, they're going to reiterate that it seems like the demographic has changed quite a bit. And then the California philosophies are starting to enter into the politics of the state of Nevada. And that's happening across the country. But you know, when it comes down to the state of California. Look, the California Pension, Public Employee Pension Fund right now just announced a 9% increase. They just need to call that with us what that actually is. A 9% burden on the taxpayers of the state of California on top of what they're already paying in order to maintain pension funds. This is going to be a huge issue. Once again, I am crying that wolf. It is starting to peek its ugly head around the corner. Pension reform is going to be an issue come 2016 out here in the state of California. The CalPERS increase is just an incredible number, folks. I mean, $4.75 billion a year is what the taxpayers pay to public employee pensions. And you know, here we go. You know, I mean, once again, that 9% increase is going to come from you, the taxpayer. So all my fellow state employees, once again, I say you need to start listening to this. So every time, you know, state employees negotiate a raise increase, a benefit increase, you know, that calculation goes up. That cost factor goes up when it comes to calculating that pension. And therefore, CalPERS has got to be obligated to pay more.
Does the state of California, Andrew, are we at a point or a breaking point where you think that they cannot support those kind of raises for the tax-paying citizens here in this great state? Can we continue to lose businesses to raise our taxes here in California? Is that going to be something that pushes the California taxpayers over the top where they finally wake up and say, because that is a huge amount of money, probably more than anything else that is paid out in this state in retirement.
Well, eventually the one percenters are not going to be as large of a number in the state of California to be able to support the propositions under, you know, should we say, the tax increases under Propositions 30s in order to mandate, to fulfill the mandate of Proposition 98 and all these other California propositions out here on the West Coast. You know, Californians, we like to proposition ourselves to death, especially when it comes, you know, to mandating things upon people other than ourselves. But without a doubt, I mean, eventually that tax eventually is going to trickle down to, well, the top 5%ers, the top 10%ers. Ooh. And now you're getting to people.
Big
who,
demographic.
Huge there. Demographic. You're going to be touching people at $100,000 a year, give or take, plus or minus, at that high, you know, low six-figure, high five-figure range in order to support these taxes. And that's when the suffrage, I think, is going to begin, you know, for the Democrats. And now hopefully the middle-class Californians will wake up and start to reject that Marxist theory within the Democrat Party.
Governor Brown is touting his high-speed rail, Andrew, and it's not going to be completed for another, you know, 10 years, 15 years or so. In the interim, infrastructure in this great state of California, our roads, our dams, our water storage is terrible. We're seeing the repercussions of not doing the dams right now. California's in the fourth year of a terrific drought down there, and they are in the Sacramento area, I believe, mandating 25% cut and a 20% rate increase for the water users down there. Should we change some of our money? Should we demand that our money go for more infrastructure and to create more jobs other than just the high-speed rail? Can we look far enough ahead, Andrew?
Well, hopefully. You know, I mean, that's a lot to look forward to and you know, to try to answer that question, Tim. But, yeah, I mean, look at this. I mean, I think the leftists, I think they tune into the 503 report, but because, man, did they change that message from last week? I mean, look, think about this real quick. We go to drastic 25%, you know, cuts in water usage to now all this week. Well, no, the water is it's not going to hurt our economy. Oh, no, we're going to be fine, you know, with the water. I mean, the flip-flop that they did on the messaging is just crazy. But, you know, the water is going to be obviously the huge issue. But, you know, but we've got to start focusing on these issues more so. I mean, the bigger issue in the media this week, it had to do with vaccinations in schools and your right to refuse to have your kids vaccinated before they go into school. That's what, you know, charge the headlines out here on the West Coast in California, your ability to say no to that and to endanger possibly other kids in the name of your own, you know, personal beliefs. But, you know, ultimately, you know, water is going to be the message for us. And we just got to stay focused on that message. I mean, Adam Gray, a Democrat, okay, was removed from the Water Committee, the assembly. the Assembly Water Committee this week because he had the audacity to go against the Democratic leadership and actually make a vote in favor of getting water to the people rather than hold the water back and go against the environmentalists and the fisheries and other interests. And so as a result of him actually voting on behalf of us, the people, especially in his district, you know, he was removed from that committee. Well, I say good for you, Adam Gray, whoever you are, because we need more of that in our government. You can't be scared to go against the interests. I mean, there's going to be a consequence, but man, you've got to be able to make the right decision. And so ultimately, folks, water is going to be the decisions that we're going to have to make out here in California.
If you'd like to join the conversation, it's pretty easy. 257-TALK, 825-5826, toll-free at 1-866-882-1277. The 503 Report bringing Sacramento and Worldview.
Rotary's 14th Annual Golf Tournament is Saturday, May 2nd at Plumas Pines Golf Course in Gray Eagle. There will be 3 hole-in-one prizes, $10,000 in cash and 2 $5,000 in cash. Entry is $100 a person. 4-person scramble includes golf, cart, lunch, and hors d'oeuvres. Entry deadline is April 24th, or the first 144 players. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station. Susanville Kiwanis is sponsoring 5 scholarships for students pursuing either an academic or vocational career. To qualify, students must be graduating high school seniors from Lassen High School District attendance area with a grade point average of 2.5 or higher. All students planning to attend a college, university, or vocational technical college are encouraged to apply. Scholarship information is available in the counseling office at Lassen High School. Applications must be submitted by April 10th.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUB or Sierra Broadcasting Company and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
This date, April 17, 1861, Virginia became the 8th state to secede from the Union. 100 years later, 1961, some 1,400 Cuban exiles, they attacked the Bay of Pigs in an attempt to overthrow Fidel Castro. Of course, in 1969, Saran Saran is convicted of assassinating Senator Robert F. Kennedy. And then in 1970, Apollo 13, we all remember Apollo 13, originally scheduled to land on the moon, it lands back safely on the Earth. This date in history, April 17th. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we are where America's voice is heard, Tim.
Andrew, our favorite day of the week and a lot of topics on there. We were talking in the break. There's a lot of places to go nationally if we can. So I'm going to let you pick. You have a couple over there. You have a lot of notes over there. I'm going to let you pick where you would like to go. We've talked about what's the taxes and what's going on in the great state of California. But our nation has a lot of big choices coming up as well, and our leaders that we've elected have a lot of huge choices as well.
You guys and folks listening, anybody catching Saturday Night Live lately, I have to tell you.
Boy, they're the heartbeat of America on a lot of things, aren't they? Boy.
I love me some Saturday Night Live during the political preseason and then the political season. That's the best part of the preseason is Saturday Night Live, and I have to tell you, you know, when Saturday Night Live is making fun of you, you are in trouble, let me tell you, and that has everything to do, you know, with Hillary Clinton's campaign at this point in time. And, you know, hold on, man. I mean, Saturday Night Live, it's kind of ironic because of NBC being the leftist news media that they are. You know, think about this real quick, folks. I mean, Saturday Night Live is more brutal to female candidates than they are to male candidates. I mean, they portray female candidates as just being, you know, either wacko crazy or just completely stupid. I mean, we remember with Sarah Palin and now what they're doing with Hillary Clinton. I mean, to me, I think it's hilarious. Don't get me wrong. I love, not just because it's Hillary Clinton. I mean, I just love me some good political satire. Yeah. And right now, boy, I tell you what, there's a lot that they can make fun of. And every time I hear or watch somebody on the national level in politics, I'm just like, oh, boy, here comes another Saturday Night Live skit. But, you know, let's get serious here real quick. You know, Hillary Clinton's campaign. Let me tell you something. I think it's very smart what she's doing. I'm going to give her kudos on that, and I'm hoping that maybe Jeb Bush is going to take, you know, the same approach when it comes to this primary season. Look, Iowa, I believe historically has been more important to the Democrats than it is Republicans. You know, Iowa really is irrelevant to the Republican primaries when it comes to the nominee. They don't have an outstanding record as far as nominating Republicans as much as it is with the Democrats. But what she's doing is exactly how you have to campaign in Iowa, and history shows that. Rick Santorum did it very successfully. Mike Huckabee did it very successfully. Barack Obama did it very successfully. That's the way the Iowans like it. And, you know, if Andrew Wellborn was running for president, you wouldn't know about it. The press would not be covering it when it comes to that campaign. Those caucuses, those individuals that participate in the Iowa caucuses, they like to see their candidates one-on-one. They don't really care too much about the media scrutiny on a candidate because it's real for them. So, you know, for Hillary Clinton to do what she's doing is a very, very, very smart tactic, but it's not an original tactic. It's just a page out of history when it comes to candidates who want to win Iowa.
Well, it's the heart of America, and the heart of America likes things personal. While they like them one-on-one, they like to feel that they can approach and that their voice and what they say means something and will carry a little bit of weight. Now, is Iowa going to change the ways of our great nation? Probably not, but that is how they think. Middle America is that way.
Well, I think the Democrat, that team behind Hillary Clinton, realized a couple of things. Number one, they might not get as many passes as they thinking that they're going to get. They're starting to see that, you know, the connection between her and Barack Obama is going to be made. And, you know, the friendliness towards the Clintons is not there as much as it was back in the 90s. And so some of the media, the pre-campaign media releases that the Hillary Clinton campaign, you know, look, when they did that article about Monica Lewinsky, you know, that backfired huge. I mean, I think that they were thinking that was going to be sympathy, but it wasn't. It just brought back Bill Clinton's, you know,
forays.
His issues. And, you know, the launch of her book obviously was just a disaster. But the Democrats have got a problem, they think. I truly believe that they're concerned about Hillary Clinton not resonating as well to middle-class Democrats or middle-class Americans like they were hoping. And there's just no way she's going to be able to relate to the average middle-class person that she's trying to reach out and portray herself as being part of.
Well, she was the first lady for two terms, and she tried to get health care going, and it didn't do very well. But then she became a senator of New York, and she became the secretary for a little while. So she has done some things, and that seems to be the way the last couple election cycles have worked. If you do a little bit, they put a lot on it. But I think we can show that when you've talked about, Andrew, for the last 4 years, the last 6 years have not been voted well for these United States.
Well, look, her record's terrible. Let's attack her record. You know, I mean, the message for Republicans is real simple. Is America ready for a woman president? Well, absolutely, but just not her. I mean, her record is terrible. And so I think that's how we judge her. That's how we campaign against her, is her record. I mean, that's how all campaigns are run, and people, you know, voters are going to look at the record. But the Democrats, you know, look, over the last several years, they're talking about social justice, inequality here, equality there, one percenters. You know, they hit Mitt Romney not being in touch because he was so wealthy and he was nasty. Wait a minute, aren't the Clintons in the same category as far as wealth? Do we have, once again, billionaires that are running? Not that she's a billionaire, but you get the point. 100 millionaires, people worth in excess of, you know, 8, 10, 12 figures,
yes,
you know, running for the White House. And that, I don't think that is going to bode well, I think, for Middle America, as long as we can, you know, maintain, you know, that messaging towards her record. And then, of course, her daughter living the life of Anastasia. And, oh, did I just say that?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, boy, that slipped. But anyways, that did not slip. Of course that didn't slip, man, but that's exactly what it is. That reference is 100% to the czars of Russia, you know, when it comes to what's good for me is not necessarily good for everybody else. But anyways, great messaging opportunity for the Republicans with her. They just need to hit her. I mean, the bottom line is that her record's terrible. She doesn't have anything that she can bring, or should we say, oh, even better. Hey, let's back up. Maybe we should ask the question, Paul. Maybe we should ask her the question, wait a minute, or even America, has her policies, you know, since she's been the first lady to the Secretary of State, and even her record in New York as a U.S. senator, have they been good for you, middle-class America?
They have not, and things have not boded well when she was Secretary of State, so I would say no. I wanted to ask you a question. The three candidates who have announced so far for the Republicans, they're not really saying a lot about her. I've heard Rand Paul has maybe stepped out a little bit, but is it too early to do that? Do you still need to tout what you want to do right now, what you believe that you can bring to America?
No, it's just going to be a bloodbath amongst these libertarians who are claiming to be Republicans, and that's what they do. And the media is going to be all over that to show these libertarians as being, you know, conservative Republicans, and this is the alternative, you know, and this is what we're going to have to deal with. This is the messaging that they're going to do. But you know what? Look, once again, this week, my text on my phone and my emails lit up, and it's like everybody said almost the same thing. And this is a reality, folks. The Cuban has announced is the message that is out there for a little bit. And, you know, look, bottom line, we can say whatever we want to about Marco Rubio, but Marco Rubio hasn't done anything. He's got no record. What did he do prior to coming into the U.S. Senate? And then what has he done as a first-term U.S. Senate? Same with Rand Paul, same with U.S. Senate. Well, actually, Ted Cruz has got more of a record, but the question is whether you agree with that record. But, you know, first-term U.S. senators, look, Republicans have got to be careful now because, you know, we're Barack Obama, you know, 8 years ago, you know, we attacked the fact that he was a brand new first term U.S. senator. And so, you know, so if we're running first term U.S. senators, you know, it's going to flip flop on us with the message as far as credibility with voters across this country. But, you know, the big issue here is real quick, you know, I've said it and I'm going to continue to say it. You don't see Cuban flags, okay, from Texas to California along that southwest border. Right. And so we just have got to be very careful as far as trying to reach to that demographic, you know, trying to portray a demographic that is not from that demographic. And that is politics, folks. It's just science. It's 101. And so demographics do matter. And we're just going to get out of the political correctness, because there is no such thing as political correctness when it comes to politically identifying voter base demographics.
Do you think, Andrew, that in the next few months that's what Jeb Bush is doing? He's just waiting to see what's mm-hmm. going on, and he is letting them do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. He is a governor from the state. He ran a state. A year ago, the front runner maybe for the Republican Party, Governor Christie, he always said that a governor, somebody who has been in leadership of a state, or be a perfect candidate for the president. Well, now, while he has taken a nosedive and he hasn't thrown his hat in the ring, and he probably will, but it won't be very good because of what he's had going on in the state of New Jersey. But Governor Jeb Bush, you know, the folks in Florida and the South, they liked what he did on there. We've had 8 years, well, 6 years now, but 8 years of President Obama, who foreign policies and everything else have just ripped this country apart.
Look, I mean, Jeb Bush is doing it absolutely correct. I would wait and just let the libertarians beat themselves up and then come up as, you know, that center in America, that middle America. Let Hillary Clinton, you know, she's eventually going to slip. No matter what, she's going to slip. I mean, yeah, once she gets off script, she's terrible. And eventually there's going to be some type of iPhone footage, you know, that comes from one of her privately, you know, hand-selected group of individuals. Yes, it's going to leak out. And so we're just going to have to wait for that when it comes. I think it's just going to be a low, kind of like I think it might be a boring summer when it comes to this because of the way the candidates are doing this. Because let's face it, look, here's the deal. Candidates know that voter turnout across this country is getting lower and lower and lower. You don't have to reach the entire nation anymore. You just have to reach demographics. You got to reach small pockets of voters. Those are the people who are voting. You don't have to go out there and campaign in California for 40 million people, because 40 million people are not going to participate. And that is the same thought when it comes to Iowa, when it comes to New Hampshire, obviously South Carolina, Nevada, and then Super Tuesday when it comes out. So, you know, voter turnout is beginning to fall off. Political strategists, pundits, we get this. We understand that. And so that is going to be part of the tactic, I think, throughout the summer going into the pre-primary season. We do have a call on the line. Hello, welcome to 503 Report. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I heard on the radio this morning that a lot of those Hillary people that she was talking to at that restaurant were actually operatives brought in. They were screened ahead of time and bused to that location. And so they weren't all just customers. They were, it was, a lot of it was staged. And then a lot of people probably don't remember when Bill and Hillary left the White House, they stole a lot of stuff. They took a lot of stuff with them that didn't belong to them.
You know, that's absolutely a great point. I appreciate that point. You know, I think you're absolutely right that, once again, there's something else that is just going to, I mean, it's going to come out. I mean, it's just going to come out. It's inevitable. And I would be, if I was, if I were in charge of the Democratic Party right now, I'd be very, very concerned about, you know, having Hillary Clinton as my front runner. I saw that Elizabeth Warren now is coming out to California.
Yes.
She's going to be the keynote speaker for the California Democrat Party. You notice I said Democrat Party.
Yes, you did.
I'm leaving the IC off a crat. So, you know, it's just interesting. I know she's going to get the pressure. Hillary, you know, when you watch that video that she released, I mean, come on. How many of the individuals in that video that she released actually watch YouTube? Did any of those people, did they look like they had the time to watch a YouTube video? No, I don't think so. And then she couldn't help it, you know, with when she talked. I mean, yeah, I mean, look, the socialist viewpoint, the Marxist viewpoint is going to come out with Hillary. She doesn't want that to be on the record. She wants that to be contained, like the caller was talking. She wants the operatives to say this. She does not want to get caught on the record promoting leftist Marxist points of view, which is basically one of the, that group is in more control of the Democrat Party than the libertarians and the far righters and the Republican Party. And so, but the media likes to wag that dog in front of its audience and talking about, well, you're not too conservative enough. You're not going to be able to win the primary because of that far right base. It's just the opposite. It's just the opposite when it comes to the Democrat Party versus the Republican Party. And hopefully over the next few months. You know, we're just heating up. This is nothing. I'm actually calm here today, and I'm going to maintain my calm.
Wait till he gets going.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. And stay tuned to Saturday Night Live, because they're going to tell you how the candidates are actually doing out there on the road.
Do you have a quote for us today, my friend?
Of course I do, man. From our favorite book, Tim, Paul, and everybody out there. Think not that I can come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Of course, we always want to thank those men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beat in the state, performing their duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California and across this country can be safe.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you every Friday right after the news on 1240 KSW, live streaming on the World Wide Web at SierraDailyNews.com. Don't forget about our website, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, where America's voice is heard. You can catch the podcast from the last 4 years as well. And grab a cup of coffee and join us weekends at 7 right before the news and Swamp Shop, and Sunday at 7:30 before pre-programmed material. A lot of great information out there, and we are just getting warmed up to political season until next February. We have a lot to talk about. There's a lot of information out there. And stay tuned right here, because you're going to get a lot of it right here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. I want to thank our callers, Andrew, Paul. Thank you so much. Folks, we'll be back again next Friday right here after the news about 12:15. Not set in stone, but depending on the news, right here on 1240 KSU. And like Chris Rock said, remember, we are all born free. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Time.